T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
670 The Score is the official radio home of Cubs baseball. Listen to all 60 games of the 2020 season here.
It's got a chance! Cubs win!
Live from the Hyundai Studios, this is 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station. The Score! Molly and Hall.
We're trying to wake Chicago up.
Live at 5 on 670 The Score.
And here they come.
It seems pretty far-fetched to think you can have a season if a team suddenly has a dozen players out for 2 weeks. And counting. I mean, we don't know where it ends.
You don't know how many other teams are affected. And that, yeah. I think, makes it difficult to kind of ponder and predict and project, even though that's what everybody will do. Because were they exposed to this in Atlanta when they had the exhibition game against the Braves because they had a couple catchers out? Did they get it in Philadelphia? Did they bring it with them from Miami? Or all of the above, Molly? That is the thing, is that it becomes a dangerous multiplier. And now they're quarantining in Philadelphia. I just think there's no way to predict what the Marlins are going to be looking at in terms of a roster moving forward. So how competitive are they going to be? And if you have one team without being whole, does that disqualify the entire season from being played because you have that one team that's affected? All these are difficult questions to know the answers to at this moment.
It's disturbing and it's bad news any way you slice it.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall.
Your morning guy over there.
Mornings on The Score.
The virtual fans gave them a standing ovation, and that was really well deserved.
That drove me insane. Literally, I lost grip with reality. It was so surreal. What in the name of God was the point of that? And they were like kind of joking about it. They thought it was funny when they hit a home run and the crowd was there, and then they showed it again and the crowd was gone. What are you doing?
Mully Hall.
I'm so fired up.
Here we go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Cubs win by the hair of their chinny chin chin.
Morning, Mully.
Good morning,
Tuesday.
David. Holy yes. Cow.
Wow.
What?
If you stayed up for that, for Cubs fans. Didn't you miss
You stayed up
that?
All night if you stayed
oh
up for that.
Oh, my gosh. You did stay up all night because you couldn't sleep after the Craig Kimbrell experience, and that's exactly what it was. But wasn't it nice to watch something to get that triggered by baseball again? I mean, you're trying to look for the bright side. It's been a while since the Cubs fans have felt that kind of pit in their stomach.
Oh, I prefer not to. Okay. They're up. They're up. What were they up 7-0, 8-1, and then that? Oh my goodness gracious! They did win the game. They did manage to pull Craig Kimbrell and Jeffers came in and got it done, and they won 8-7. But it was hardly one for the faint of heart.
The headline is the Cubs survive Kimbrell, Reds, because in that order. That is the way that it felt, because you brought in Craig Kimbrell and he had one of the worst outings of his career, and certainly his worst as a Cub, I think you could say, in terms of lacking command, lacking control, and putting people on base and putting the Cubs in harm's way. Mully, it was frustrating, it was frightening, and it was all too familiar, and it was what you feared if you're a Cubs fan. Great performance by John Lester, great performance by the offense, almost undone by a shaky bullpen, and Kimbrel just put the exclamation point on an evening where you feel good about the win, but not much else.
Yeah, I mean, look, you feel great about their starting pitching. I thought John Lester was John Lester. It looked like a throwback game. No hits through five, walked one, struck out one, and you hand it over to the bullpen. I mean, you just think to yourself, you got tons of run support, and here you go. Look what this masterpiece was, and then you get into that bullpen, which we've worried about, but boy, Craig Kimbrel, holy guacamole.
It was to the point where, you know, the Cubs serving as background noise. You know how it is at the house where you have things to do, and you can't be riveted to every batter all times, but the Cubs take a 7-0 lead, and you think, they got this. I wonder how they're going to handle the last couple of innings. I wonder who else is going to homer. And then all of a sudden, they start, you know, channeling through five relievers. They give up five runs, and then they bring in Kimbrel. And then it becomes a save situation. You think, okay, this is a good opportunity for him, kind of low pressure, whatever. And he creates the high leverage deal where Jeremy Jeffers has to bail him out. Oh, my gosh. That was a ridiculous debut for Craig Kimbrel. I don't know how. I know we'll get into this. I don't know how you trust him again in a save situation if you are leading and he's available.
Well, I got to tell you, what was the delay? How long was that? An hour, 45 minutes, something like that? Almost 2 hours? And so you're just kind of, well, they're going to play. All right. Well, are they on yet? No. Okay. Are they on yet? Oh, they're about to start. Okay. Here we go. This is going to be fun. Bam, bam, bam. It's over. John Lester is putting on this show. And he's got the run support when he gets on the bump. It's when they score four runs in the first day. I mean, you're laughing. It's over. Yep. And if I'm Dustin Rhodes, I'm putting that one to bed, feeling good about myself. And if I'm Mully, I'm like half falling asleep. Am I dreaming this? Wait a minute. Did he just hit somebody? Hold on a second. I mean, it was unbelievable that happened in that game. The game was over.
Four walks, 13 of 34 strikes. He threw 15 curveballs, and the Reds didn't bite on a single one. You talk about a guy who had lost command. I mean, he lost his way, shaved his beard, and lost his bravado. This is not the same Craig Kimbrel. This is not the guy that they thought they were getting, although this is the guy that they saw last season too often. I don't know. And you saw he just didn't have it. Rossi has to say what he said afterward, I suppose, doesn't he? It was only rust. You have to expect these things. It's been a while since he pitched. He was making excuse after excuse.
Right.
But you can't afford more situations that even approach this bad if you're the Cubs, because they have, you know, they're off to a 3-1 start.
Yes,
and
they
we
are.
Can all do the math. And they look good except for that bullpen.
Right. Yeah, and the starting pitching looks great. So that's your headline if you want to bury your lead. The fact of the matter is that when you look at that, it's amazing that hasn't bitten them yet. It really is. It's as simple as that. They've gotten through despite having some issues out of the bullpen, and certainly that one is just I don't even know. You know, what do you do? I love your biblical reference that he cut his beard, you know, Samson. And he's now not the player. The problem is, you know, he could grow his hair out and bring down the temple walls. I don't think that it growing out the beard is going to solve what's wrong with Craig Kimbrel. We're getting Cubs Kimbrel.
You would feel better if you're a Cubs fan if his velocity were like, oh, you know, he's at 90. Oh, geez, he can't reach 95. Oh, boy, it must be an arm problem, or it must be something that is health-related. He hit 97. He was averaging 96. This isn't a guy that lacks velocity. This is a guy that lacks command. How does that happen to a veteran?
Know.
Is it just rust?
It has to be. I don't know what it is. I mean, I honestly don't know what it is. And I'm, you know, it's funny because I thought to myself, you know, David Ross has to go out and get him. And I thought to myself,
yes.
wasn't Rossi the guy who went and caught him before they signed him? Oh, yeah, he's got it. Everything's going well.
Not only did he scout him and caught him, he caught his major league debut, didn't he? Wasn't he the catcher behind the plate in Atlanta on the day that Craig Kimbrell became a major league pitcher? And then he found him again as a Cub scout. But he stuck with him way too long. You've got to pull him quicker than David Ross did.
Right, I agree. I think he was he was just feeling fairly confident, and he wanted to give him as much leash as possible. But, no, you are absolutely right. I mean, it was very obvious he did not have it. So we're going to have to get him eventually. He's just lucky that you got out of that. I mean, we'd be sitting here this morning talking about a catcher. You remember the old days when the Sox had A.J. behind the plate after winning the World Series and before, and you would sit there and – AJ would start standing up and looking into the dugout like, hey, are you seeing what I'm seeing?
He
would
take the hint.
Take a bit. Exactly.
And come on, Robin.
Myself,
Ozzie.
Rossi is a catcher. He knows when a guy doesn't have it. And by the way, David Ross will be on the score today at noon with Lawrence Holmes. So hopefully we'll hear an extended conversation about that.
And, Mully, at one point in time during the midst of the meltdown, I felt like I needed to remind myself, at least there is bad baseball decision-making going on. At least there is a bullpen meltdown to discuss and analyze on Tuesday morning. Because there was a time yesterday when we left the show, there's still a high degree of uncertainty surrounding Major League Baseball and this season and the schedule because of what happened in Philadelphia with the Marlins and the outbreak. And that's a pretty serious matter. So at least there is baseball to look at and talk about today.
Right, and really hope that Ricky Renteria is okay and does not have COVID-19. Ricky woke up with a slight cough and nasal congestion, according to a release from Rick Hahn, and they talked to the team doctors. He is going through testing in Cleveland, but according to the statement, out of an abundance of caution, Ricky will remain at the team hotel and not manage until we receive confirmation of today's test results. So that means Joe McEwing is going to be the manager today for the doubleheader. The White Sox were rained out last night. And, how old is Ricky? Like 58? He's 58.
I think he's 58, and I think that, the Sox did the right – I thought they were pretty transparent there, Mully. I think that you have to give them credit for that. The Sun-Times is reporting that the test was negative, but being cautious is recommended here, and you hope that all is well with Rick Renteria and that every team has got to be really kind of err on the side of caution if you're going to.
Yeah, you hold your breath when you hear something like that. So that's frightening stuff. And it's again, he did test negative, but I you wake up with a cough. I don't know. I think everybody's kind of been through it a little bit. You clear your throat a few times, and you cough, and someone looks at you. You okay? Wait, does that mean do I have it? No, I didn't. I haven't been anywhere unless you gave it to me. I mean, it's hysterical how you can get kind of out over your skis a little bit by just clearing your throat in the wrong company. So that's
well, you ignore nothing. You can't ignore any signs, and you're going to take every precaution. You should ordinarily, but you especially will now. And I give the Sox, they have to be real cautious and careful. And today they have a doubleheader, so hopefully the rain will subside in Cleveland, and we'll get to see them go back to back. I think that I'm excited to see Carlos Rodon more than anything today. What's going on in Cleveland with the White Sox? I am curious to see what Rodon has to offer because it's been a long time coming, and there's a lot of hope invested in that left arm.
And they made a series of moves. Ronaldo Lopez, just sort of bookkeeping move. Ronaldo Lopez is out at least 10 days with the right shoulder soreness. They called up Ian Hamilton to take that roster spot. They called him up from Schaumburg. They released Chester Cuthbert, and they brought up Ryan Goings from Schaumburg as well. So they've got a shortstop, second baseman to help cover for maybe some of the defensive issues they've had there. Also, news breaking yesterday that Michael Kopech filing for divorce from his Michael Kopech's kind of a newlywed, right? Vanessa Morgan.
5 months.
Actress from Riverdale. Apparently, she is on the nest. She is pregnant. And Michael Kopech filing for divorce from Vanessa Morgan. So that is maybe more of an explanation as to what was going on with him.
Yeah, the Sox did not play a game yesterday, but there was certainly a lot of news going on in terms of their roster and their team and their players. But I hope that, we can talk about Michael Kopech and his future and some of the things surrounding him, but you just hope the young man is taking care of everything he needs to take care of. And at one point in time, whenever he arrives in Chicago, has a long career with the White Sox.
The bulk of the NFL players are supposed to report to training camp. And according to the protocols updated last week by the league, they've got to produce 3 negative results over a 4-day period. And if so, they would then begin their daily testing on the 5th day and be admitted to the team facility. And again, there'll be daily testing until they go 2 weeks below 5% testing. So the Bears have got rookie Artavis Pierce. He was an undrafted free agent that they signed to give them a chance. A lot of people think he might have been able to make the team. Maybe he still can, but he is on the reserve COVID-19 list right now. So of the rookies that came in, you had a guy testing. We'll get into some Bears talk. The zero tests among the NHL players, that is huge. 4,256 tested, and we also have some information that we'll go over with the fall sports here in the state of Illinois. Hopefully, we'll learn more about that. Maybe not until the meeting tomorrow, but there is all sorts of speculation about that, and we'll get into some of that. There's tons to go over, and obviously a lot of worry for the Cubs. We got the 5 at 5 next. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw starts now.
After John Lester's dominant 76-pitch no-hit start through 5, the Cubs' rotation has a 1.50 ERA and 23 strikeouts 4 games into the season. It's early, but can their strong starters offset an unproven bullpen? Is hot pitching as contagious as hot hitting in a 60-game season?
Yeah, you know, I think the great thing about pitching, especially early in the season, is that you're building as you're pitching, right? So you would expect that the starters can go another inning or two as they move forward in the season, and that will make the bullpen issues less of a concern. I mean, still a major concern, but they're still finding their places as to who goes when in that bullpen. I do think that starting pitching gets to a point where you have to, you have a mentality of either, you know, I've got to do my share or I got to show I'm better than that guy. And I think that that's the sort of thing that you hope for. And you're also building up your arm as you go forward, especially with the short summer camp. So I think it's a good thing all the way around. And I think that strong pitching, listen, a bad bullpen is a very difficult thing to overcome. But finding roles for guys and finding who you trust is an important thing to do as you go forward. And I think that, you know, they were very lucky yesterday that they had someone who had been in those kind of situations before. So hopefully they figure out who they can trust and who they can't.
That's a great point about starting pitching and how you will continue to go to them and maybe they can go deeper in games. And maybe next time John Lester has a no-hitter through five, he can get a no-hitter through six and maybe stick with him into the seventh. And then you reduce your margin for error and you don't have to turn to a bullpen that full of names that only a pitching coach could love. I mean, Winkler, Wick, Underwood, Norwood, Tapera. I mean, who are these guys? Last night they were brutal. Five runs. They get the stage set for Craig Kimbrell, who is now looking like Theo Epstein's $43 million mistake. You don't have to compound the mistake, David Ross. You don't have to leave him in there to show everyone how dangerous he can be. I know he's a first-time manager. I know there's a lot of rust, but that was painful to watch Rossi watching Kimbrell because you kept thinking to yourself, go get him, go get him. The bases are loaded. What are you waiting for? Go get him. I think that the starting pitching can carry you if you're the Cubs, can carry you to a point. Your offense, very good. Your standard was set by Kyle Hendricks, so to some degree it already has been contagious because you saw from Lester and you saw not necessarily from Darvish, but certainly from Chatwood. You saw that effect. Everyone's trying to do what Kyle Hendricks did on opening night. But that bullpen, I don't know how you elevate their performance collectively until you hold them accountable. And that starts with having Jeremy Jeffress step in the next time there's a safe situation. I don't know how you go back to Craig Kimbrell. Not until he works his way through some of his control and command issues, because that was a disaster waiting to happen.
Well, maybe David Ross just forgot he was the manager. He was waiting for Joe to go out there and grab Craig Kimbrell. I mean, that's a possibility, right? He's still new to this gig. Maybe he's just trying to get acclimated. Look, if only there were someone on this show that said that Craig Kimbrell was washed up a year and a half ago and said that the Cubs shouldn't have signed him. No, I'm not going to get back into that one. Look, John Lester was fantastic last night. While I said I was right about Craig Kimbrell, I've been very wrong about John Lester. I've been trying to write this guy off now each year as he gets older and the velocity declines a little bit and maybe he doesn't have the command and the repertoire that he once had. And he just continues to go out there and be solid every single year. And he was really good again last night. Now, the bullpen going into the season, I think we all kind of thought it was a big question mark, but it's becoming an exclamation point now. I mean, that performance last night, Kimbrell aside, I mean, the rest of those guys, you went over the laundry list there, David. It's really not a great group. And if they're relying on Jeremy Jeffress to come save everything like he did last night and for him to be able to do that consistently, I don't know if that's going to happen either. Let's not forget Jeremy Jeffress was released by the Brewers in the heat of a pennant race last year in September. And the Cubs picked him up off the scrap heap, essentially. It's not like he was a big coveted free agent signing or anything like that. If he's healthy and he can get back to where he was a few years ago, that's a different story. But guys in their mid-30s generally don't get back to where they were. I mean, case in point, you're looking at me right here. So, you know, Kimbrell, Jeffress, all these guys, I don't know how sustainable it's going to be. Offense looks good. Starting pitching looks good. But especially come playoff time, if the Cubs are going to be one of those playoff teams, this bullpen is not going to be good enough to get them through.
Well, it's one thing to have an unproven bullpen and a totally different thing to have an unreliable bullpen. And having strong starters is great and exactly what you need to have any hopes of postseason aspirations. But to have an unreliable bullpen back you up is a recipe for disaster, and that's the bottom line. This bullpen is going to have to do better. It's not enough to have strong starters you're not going to be able to, sure, as you guys pointed out, the starters are going to be able to go deeper in games in certain scenarios, but there's going to be games where John Lester is going to be tired. He's going to need to come out. And now we have this three batter minimum with relievers. You need to do better. You need to have a more reliable bullpen. I don't know how you muster this up. Somebody's going to have to step up and come up big. More than one guy, more than just Jeremy Jeffress coming in to save a game. Is hot pitching contagious? I don't know if hot pitching is contagious, but I know the idea of, hey, I don't want to be the guy that blows this game. I don't want to be Craig Kimbrell. That kind of thinking can be contagious. Nobody wants to be that dude. So everybody's going to have to be better with the stuff they're throwing. And maybe it helps. The mental approach will help a little bit.
Well, Scotty Podge yesterday told you guys that defense and pitching is what's going to carry the day. Defense and pitching. Now, the Cubs came right out of the box. We're hitting very well. I was worried, you know, of course, the way my mind works, I'm worried during that hour and 45-minute rain delay about the lineup Easta. I'm looking at that lineup. I'm like, okay, so wait a minute. Now, Bode, Souza, all of a sudden these guys are going to play after a 2-1 start. These guys basically haven't even had at bats, and now these two are starting. And I'm like, oh, boy, that Ross is just going to get murdered if these guys don't do what they're supposed to do. We're just going to absolutely line up east of this guy. And then, you know, David Ross hits. Kimbrel stink on him, right? When he was working as a special assistant to the general manager, when he was working at the Four Letter Network, he was the one that went to a Kimbrel workout and reported back that Kimbrel's got it, that he believes in Kimbrel, and, you know, Cubby should go out and get Kimbrel. So he's in a weird spot. Maybe it would be different if they didn't have to face three batters. Maybe it would have been a much quicker hook. But the good news was that Jeffries was able to come in and knock it down. I thought, I was like Mully, I'm like, is this really happening? Am I dreaming? Am I in some kind of weird anti-Cub? But to David's point, too, it felt good. It felt good to get aggravated about baseball, about sports, to have a pulse, to forget about all the other crap that's going on out there right now and just be focused on, like, Craig Kimbrel stinking out loud. And kudos to John Lester.
It's a great question.
What was your first reaction to the White Sox statement that Rick Renteria planned to miss Monday's scheduled game after waking up with cold symptoms? Renteria later reportedly tested negative, but did you worry more or less because he was a 58-year-old manager instead of a younger player? And how much would the Sox have missed Renteria or any team miss any manager?
You know, I looked at this two different ways. My first reaction was almost sadness, like, oh my gosh, I hope he doesn't come down with something. I hope he doesn't have something that we're unaware of, or maybe there's a pre-existing condition. He's been so responsible with wearing the mask publicly. He's been so accountable with those kind of things and telling people to do that and setting a terrific example. I like Rick Renteria, the guy. I mean, I think it's impossible not to. I have a ton of respect for the kind of person he is. So I think my first reaction was that on that human level, boy, I hope he's okay, because this is what you hear, is that guys start to show signs. So it was a bit of a relief last night when I saw Daryl Venskowen from the Sun-Times tweet out that the test was negative, according to his sources, and that he is expected back in the dugout today for the doubleheader. I did start to think about the other aspect then. If he's not able to be there and he has to quarantine in a hotel, couldn't he do it anyway? Couldn't he manage remotely? I mean, my goodness, we're calling games. Broadcast booths are in Chicago. You're calling games in Cincinnati, and every team is doing that. Couldn't you manage from a hotel room? I know MLB may have, you know, rules and regulations because of the Astros and because of technology, but if you had to make an exception, this would be the time to do it. And if Ricky Renteria could manage, or any manager were to have to quarantine himself to a hotel room or to stay at home because of the situation the pandemic has thrust us into, I think that would be allowable. I don't know that a manager would be missed, frankly, as much as if it were your leadoff hitter or your closer or your best pitcher. Certainly the Marlins are going through a lot of, they're missing more than that. They're missing half their team. But I think if you ask the question, manager or player, you would miss the player more so than the manager, and I think for obvious reasons.
Yeah, you know, I probably shouldn't tell you what was going through my mind, because it was dark, and I think that the fear here is, you know, this outbreak is kind of hitting a worst case possible scenario with the Miami Marlins, and then you see a 58-year-old man come down with it, and that's a different age group and a different kind of worry group. And I thought to myself, oh my God, if we lose someone because of coronavirus, how are you ever going to justify playing a baseball season? I went really dark, and I was afraid. And I really like Ricky. You know, I told you I was at the Sox convention one year, and this guy got up. He was disabled, and he thanked the White Sox for all they meant. And Ricky bounced off the stage and ran over and hugged the guy. And it was just this, like, real beautiful moment. I think he's a really super good guy. And that's what was going through my head. Just, you know, fondness for the guy and fear for what could happen here as we talk about this COVID-19 and the fact that it's still all over the place. And there's positive news. You know, there's vaccine trials going on that look promising, and they have a couple of different things that have worked for people hospitalized. But when you say, could he manage remotely, like, my vision is a guy, you know, on a ventilator trying to tell you to you know, bunt. I it just, my mind goes to dark places. So I'm delighted that he's okay and ready to manage.
Well, yeah, it's great that he is seemingly okay. You know, and it's a good thing that he, on the onset of any sort of symptom, you know, took it upon himself to kind of hang back and, you know, be prepared to miss the game. I think that's what everybody should be doing. Maybe the Marlins, you know, you don't want to say it's too late for them, my God, but, you know, I'm sure that somebody there, you know, not all the cases down in Miami were asymptomatic. A lot of these guys were exhibiting symptoms, so they probably should have, either on their own accord or you know, at the command of Don Mattingly or the president of baseball operations down there, whoever the hell that is this week, you know, somebody probably should have said, okay, if you're not feeling well, you shouldn't go out and play a baseball game. But that's, you know, another story altogether, we'll get to that. As far as Renteria, you know, being missed by the White Sox, I've been pretty critical of his lineups already so much this year. And last night before that game got canceled, I was once again angry to see Nicky Delmonico in there. So maybe it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for Ricky to take 2 weeks off and have Joe McEwing fill out the lineup card.
My reaction to Renteria saying he was going to, you know, remove himself from the game, sit out of the game, you know, was one of concern. I was very concerned. I was very relieved to see that he tested negative because, yes, I was very concerned because he is an older guy. He's almost 60 years old. He's someone who is at high risk for contracting COVID-19, and the symptoms could, you know, hit him very severely. But, so, you know, the older you are, the harder it hits you. So I'm relieved to see that he tested negative. In terms of the White Sox missing Renteria, it would have been an emotional blow if he had to miss an extended period of time, but the Sox would have been okay. I mean, they're a very talented young group. They'd be fine.
Well, I'm with Molly, where I'm happy that Ricky's okay. He seems like a really genuinely nice human being, good person. We need more nice, good human beings all across our planet, let alone just baseball and on the team over at 35th and Shields. So he's a good representative for that group. Now, you know, before this had happened, I did see Nicky Delmonico in the lineup, where Nicky Delmonico was batting in the lineup, and I thought, oh boy, if you are a big fan of that team, you are upset. And then this happens. I'm glad he's okay, but I also feared, like, oh my gosh, this would just be horrific if this guy was hospitalized on a ventilator, and God forbid something even worse than that had happened. So I'm glad to hear that he's doing better. That's fantastic news. And I'm excited to see the Sox play two games this afternoon. I'm with David. I mean, Carlos Rodon today is something really to get in front of the television set and take a look at if you're a Sox fan or a Chicago baseball fan.
Is that a baseball question? Is that about the game?
I mean, it's about baseball, yeah.
Or did you get here late?
Do you remain fearful that the Miami Marlins COVID-19 issues could end the baseball restart? Has MLB avoided a stoppage, or are they just buying time?
I think they're buying time at this point. I mean, listen, Okay, this is an awful story, and it's ravaged a team. We are a week into the season, right? You know, Ricky Renteria, that scare was the first time they've traveled. That's the thing that scares you is, you know, the Cubs, you see Chris Bryant put a mask on when he gets to first base. You see Rizzo wearing a mask at different points. I think that it should be something we're very concerned about. Listen, they're dodging a bullet here if they can get through with no problems. Now, apparently, they had two games with the Orioles, and then they were going to Baltimore to play the Orioles. So we'll see. They've canceled the two games. The Orioles are back in Baltimore, and we'll see if the Marlins end up trying to play, a couple doubleheaders, how they're going to try to fix this thing, what they're going to try to do about it. They had to cancel the game in Philadelphia with the Yankees. They're just buying time. They have no idea how extensive this is. And it is obviously a huge misstep to get to a point where this happens, where it surges through a team like that. And they're trying to figure out how that happened. And, Kevin, you know, you were correct in a couple of things you said about guys kind of blowing through some red lights, maybe not understanding that the symptoms – what the symptoms are, and that you have to get some sort of if you're feeling ill in any fashion, you need to get away from all your teammates. So that is scary stuff, and you can't imagine if it happened to a second team. I don't know what they would do, right? So they're hardly out of the woods.
Every day of the 60-game season that we're going through is an exercise in buying time if you're Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred. You are just going one day at a time. Yesterday it was the Marlins. Tomorrow it could be the Angels or the A's or the Mariners or who knows what team might have an outbreak. You can't anticipate this. You have to manage on a day-to-day basis. That is as far ahead as you can look. Rob Manfred was on MLB Network last night, and he talked about these things, and I give him credit for, we don't do it often, but he did answer questions very methodically. He promised nothing. He said it would depend on the circumstances. He was very careful not to say that, dismiss this as something that was just a one-time thing. He understood the ramifications that this is, you know, we're going to have to be, as fans, as media members, as people involved in the game, you know, comfortable being uncomfortable. Every day is going to bring its new set of circumstances that might create some anxiety. I'll tell you where I would like to see them address, though. They had a 100-page protocol. They had all these rules, and they had everything spelled out. Where in that 100-page protocol, Don Mattingly, did it say that we're going to decide if there's an outbreak on a team to have a team vote whether or not we play? That cannot be up to a manager. That cannot be up to a team to say, well, we want to play through this, because it's not an ankle injury. It's not an arm soreness. This is COVID. It's serious stuff. And by putting his team out there the other day, you wonder what damage was done. So they need to clean that up, clear that up, and then move forward. But I don't think that anybody should be naive to think that Major League Baseball is out of the woods here.
No, of course they're not out of the woods. You know, this is... I think we all expected there to be positive cases along the course of this season. I think that was inevitable, given all of the travel and everything that goes into even a season as short as 60 games, everything just logistically. There were always going to be positive tests. The fact that so many players on the Marlins have tested positive already, you know, 3 days into the season, it does not bode very well to this thing going on unencumbered for the next couple of months. Just to repeat myself a little bit, just terrible leadership from Don Mattingly and from the Marlins front office, which is not a huge surprise because it's not an organization that really has a great track record for being on top of things, I guess you could say, and this is just another example of that. I don't know what they're going to do. Are you going to bring up 14 players from their taxi squad? Are you going to just keep them out for 2 weeks and postpone all of their games and just count them as losses? I have no idea how they're going to handle this. And of course, Rob Manfred yesterday on his conference call continues to be a boob and not know what the hell he is doing. I mean, this guy cannot possibly be long for this job. He needs to resign in shame, Mully, to borrow a quote from you. He is absolutely just, I mean, listen, Gary Bettman has been the butt of our jokes for years now. And he is so much better off now and looking so much better than Rob Manfred. Manfred has shot up the power rankings of the most inept commissioner in all of North American sports. And it's just, it's shocking. Every day that this guy continues to be the commissioner of Major League Baseball, it's a poor reflection on the league. He is an imbecile, and he needs to resign in shame.
Yes, I am fearful that this Marlins fiasco with COVID-19 could end baseball's restart. Look, back in March, there was one positive test that stopped the entire NBA. Now we look at the Marlins, and there's 11 player cases at least, 14 people total. I mean, this is a mess. Hopefully they can somehow figure out a way to get this under control, because they're in danger of having this happen in other scenarios and having it spread to other teams. This is not good. I think the MLB is avoiding time right now. That's what they're doing. They're buying time. I don't know how they're going to figure this out, but if they can keep this contained, that would be pretty amazing. But we're going to have to see what they do. What's their response here?
Well, of course, it's worrisome, but I have to say, and I'm probably, people won't agree, I'm glad they played yesterday. I'm glad they moved forward where it made sense to move forward, and they didn't move forward where it didn't move sense to move forward. Okay, they postponed the Yankees-Phillies game. That made a lot of sense. I think I said either to this group, somebody in this group or somebody else, you get confused sometimes, you get all these texts, but I thought, wow, I wonder if the Yankees, what's going through the Yankees' minds, if they're going to want to show up and play in Philadelphia, if they're going to want to have to go use the clubhouse that the Marlins used. We don't know if the Marlins broke protocol here. We don't know if they got involved in a card game, if they all were eating off of the same buffet table, if they were got too close in the dugout celebrating something. We don't know. Now, I think that Manfred probably should have stepped in with the three positive tests and said, you know, let's not play this game, right? But who knows? There's no playbook for this. And I don't want to be the one sitting here to defend Rob Manfred. But the worst thing that Manfred could have done, in my opinion, would have been to shut the whole thing down. I mean, that was, you know, everybody on Sports Talk Radio knew after the, you know, baseball shouldn't have played on Sunday, they shouldn't have played yesterday, blah, 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 blah. I knew. Oh, you knew? You didn't say one thing on Twitter. You didn't say one thing on Instagram. You didn't say one thing on Facebook, but you knew. You knew that this was a huge mistake, and baseball got what it deserved for going out on the field. You got what you deserved. You don't get what you deserve. How do we know the Marlins didn't screw up the protocols? So hopefully this is the end of it. I don't know. Maybe the Marlins just have to boycott. You know, they don't play the rest of the season. And if you're in the AL East and the NL East, you got to play another team X amount of times to fill up that void. But let's take it one step at a time. Baby steps here.
See, Bruce asked the first hard question.
Does the fact Michael Kopech is filing for divorce from his pregnant wife of nearly 6 months help you understand his opt-out? Does it matter if he opted out due to personal issues as opposed to COVID-19?
Yeah, it doesn't really bother me or matter to me, I should say. I love telling stories. You know, I love writing about people who are interesting and fascinating and have great backgrounds. I feel like, though, I'm just being honest here, I know more about Michael Kopech than I really want to know. And he's 24 years old, and he hasn't really established himself as a major league pitcher. And I know he can throw the heck out of a baseball, but I think that I know more about his life and his thoughts and how introspective he is and all these things. And I applaud him for being brave and courageous and talking about some of the mental health issues that he has had to overcome. And I think that it's an easy to be a fan of Michael Kopech. But his life is an open book, and right now it's a very uncomfortable read. And I just feel like you hope for the best for a 24-year-old. And that's the way I look at him, is like, you know, I don't know how many innings he's going to pitch for the White Sox. Certainly not any this year, but moving forward, I don't know how good he's going to be. But he clearly has some things he needs to just address off the field. And so I look at it that way, and I read that headline, and I saw that tweet and the breathless reaction to it. And I thought, oh, man, I mean, here's a guy that we found out 48 hours ago his wife was pregnant, and now he's filing for divorce. And we know he opted out, and I just hope that he gets his head straight and he takes care of whatever he needs to take care of, however long it takes. And I think the White Sox have got to take that same approach. So whether it was because of COVID, whether it's because of his personal issues, I think they're personal issues. And I hope that the young man takes care of that before he comes back to try to become a major league pitcher.
Yeah, I think that was well said. You know, I think that imagine if Zion Williamson was only a guy that you had seen videos of dunking and he never actually made it to the NBA. That would be kind of the Michael Kopech thing. It's this incredible party trick that a guy can throw over 100 miles an hour and you know, look what that guy can do. Now, maybe that gets you to draft a guy, but I don't know that the whole party trick element is going to have the payoff that you want. I was very careful about talking about anybody opting out because of COVID-19. It seems like there's other things at play with Michael Kopech. And, take care of your life. I get it. But at the same time, you know, are you a baseball player? Are you a pitcher? Are you all in on that? Or are you, you know, going to go out with a bunch of kind of, you know, are you trying to live your life like a reality show? That's what it comes down to for me. So I out of sight, out of mind. Hope life works out for the guy, but I'm going to worry about the team on the field.
Yeah, you know, I don't really feel super comfortable talking about the personal life of a young man who has had, you know, a lot of struggles with his mental health and his physical health as well, you know, not being able to pitch for, it's going to be two seasons now. That's got to be a huge drain as well. I mean, this is not, you know, TMZ radio here, so I don't want to delve too much into whatever's going on with him and his personal life, but just hope that he's doing all right, and maybe, you know, at some point we'll be able to see him back out on the field. But I don't think it matters why anybody is opting out of this season with so much going on in terms of the pandemic and, you know, everybody's state of mind kind of screwed up right now. It doesn't really matter why anybody decides to play or not to play. I respect their decision regardless, and that's about it.
Well, Michael Kopech filing for divorce does give you insight into why he chose to sit out this season. Sure, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's for a personal issue or for COVID-19 for me. If he feels like his head and his heart are not in it, then he should take some time to get himself together, get himself right. Because if your head and your heart are not in it, you're truly not going to be playing at your best. That's going to do a disservice to the White Sox. That's going to do a disservice to Michael Kopech himself. So I don't have any problem with it. Get it right.
Yeah, I think he's got to get in the right frame of mind. It takes a lot to be a starting pitcher in baseball. Maybe he thought this was not only the best thing for him, but also the best thing for the White Sox, because he knew he could not be fully committed because of what was going on outside of his baseball world.
I have a few things I need to get through before I open it up to your questions.
According to The Athletic's annual tier ranking of NFL quarterbacks, Nick Foles is 26th and on tier 3, and Mitchell Trubisky is 32nd on tier 4. One defensive coordinator is quoted, quote, "As bad as Trubisky is, I know Foles is even worse." Are those fair rankings? And as the Bears begin the process of reporting to camp today, who is the number one quarterback on the depth chart?
Yeah, it's not fair ranking. We got limited time. I'll say that they'll open the season with Mitch and that Foles will take over eventually 4 or 5 games into it.
Love a good quarterback controversy. Love a good quarterback deep dive by Mike Sando and The Athletic. I was more curious about where they put Lamar Jackson in Tier 2 rather than in the Bears kind of debating at the end. Mitch is 32nd best, probably. That is fair. Foles has got a more accomplished career, but I think that Mitch is your number one quarterback on the depth chart without a preseason. It probably means he starts week one, but there's plenty more of to discuss about that, but we just don't have the time right now.
Well, I would agree that Mitch is probably around the 30th or 31st, 32nd best quarterback in the league. That's probably fair. And with Foles, you know, he's been around for a long time. Obviously, when he was the Super Bowl MVP, that was a crazy event there. Maybe a little bit of a flukish nature to that. But he's just been hurt so much, it's hard to really analyze what he is, because he's never been the starter for 16 games. He's not been able to do that, whether it's because he was the backup or because he was injured. So if it were me, if I was the head coach, I would have Foles as my number one. I think we've seen enough from Mitch, and I think Foles having knowledge of the offense and maybe being a better fit would probably place him ahead of Mitch on the depth chart for me.
I'll say the Trubisky ranking is fair, and Trubisky's going to be the starter for the first game of the season.
Well, sometimes there's too many lists in sports talk radio and just in life in general. Too many lists. But what I like about this list, and the creator of this list, Mike Sando, will join you guys tomorrow at 8:40. We'll dive into this a little bit more. He's out on the West Coast. But is the fact that he's got these quotes, like some are pro and some are con, and hopefully we're going to get a chance to dive into these. So everybody else is saying, Mitch, I will be very, 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 very disappointed if Foles is not the starter from Jump Street for the Bears this year.
All right, that's the 5 at 5, 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw. It's Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.